the Marist brothers to allegations of child sexual abuse in schools in the ACT, New South Wales and Queensland, particularly here in the ACT. The responses of the Marist brothers, including in schools operated by it, to allegations of child sexual abuse regarding brother John Shute, also known as brother Kostka, and former brother Zara as well. If you want to get involved or give evidence or somehow make contact with the commission, there are ways to do that. Francis Sullivan is joining us. He's the Chief Executive of the Truth, Justice and Healing Council, the main spokesperson for the Catholic Church in these matters, and he's here in the studio this morning. Francis Sullivan, good morning.
Good morning, Phil.
Specifically, is this the hearing in Canberra specifically into the Marist brothers?
Yes, that's all we know so far. As you can tell, the Royal Commission leaves these pieces of information pretty late in the piece, but as far as we can tell, it's about the Marist brothers and the handling of Brother Kostka. As you probably know, Brother Kostka was moved out of that school in 1993.
Well, so just for those listening, can you just fill us on what the scope of the Marist brothers' operation in the ACT was?
Well, basically, it's the school at Marist over there on the south side, and that's been the scope of their schooling in Canberra.
And Brother Kostka was there when?
Well, he was last at the school in 1993.
And it's to do with the church's response to the way that the allegations against Brother Kostka were handled.
Yes, and as we've said many times, the history of the Catholic Church in the area of child sex abuse is confronting and shameful. And this is another occasion where people who have been abused need the opportunity to have a public hearing so that the brothers can explain how they handled and mishandled the situations.
I mean, so far, as I say, it's just been a litany of horrors.
Correct.
Quite frankly, hasn't it?
No, it's terrible. And as I said, it's confronting. I mean, I think a lot of people in the community are shocked. Catholics are shocked. And the handling has been something that is a shame on the church.
Because that's the thing, it's not so much the crime itself, although that is profound and disturbing because of the breach of trust involved, which is I'm sure you'd agree, and the church would agree, is of a much higher order than anybody else.
Exactly.
Than anybody else would be expected to live up to. But it's the handling in the aftermath of these abuse issues which is most disturbing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is a church we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're not talking about any other institution. People put their trust in a church. They put their trust to look after their kids, to keep people safe. And not only that, they expect the church to always be upfront and truthful about what has happened.
Why did the church protect these people for so long?
Well, because they put the interests of the church in front of the interests of the victims. It was a classic example, if you like, of where the institution looks after itself, is worried about scandal, is worried about public shame.
And you get the sense that the church saw itself as embattled. You get all these people who are wanting to attack it, and therefore we have to defend it.
Yes, exactly.
Without considering what the role of the church in the community was.
Yes, exactly.
It was a misconception. Well, they acted like a corporation, didn't they, rather than a church.
Well, Philip, you know, I'm a practicing Catholic, and I'm angry about the past too, and I'm angry about how things were handled. And I know that most Catholics practicing, or those who identify with a tribe, there's 5.5 million Australians who identify as Catholic, have lost confidence in how the church leadership, that's bishops or religious leaders, have handled this. And at the end of the day, they didn't put the interests of victims and survivors first. And I think we'll find that in this hearing. And it's the point of these public hearings is for groups like the Catholic Church to come forward, to fess up, and to explain themselves.
Do you expect that there'll be material heard at this hearing that we haven't seen yet before?
I don't know. I mean, what has happened is that the Royal Commission has sought all the documents, and we've provided all the documents necessary. In the weeks leading up to a hearing, they forensically go through all the documents, and we will see in the 1 or 2 weeks it takes here in Canberra a very forensic analysis of what happened. And as you've already read out to the listeners, they will also look at, you know, how the compensation payments were worked out, how the Department of New South Wales, which is involved in this area, how they operated, what was the relationship with the police, why wasn't there any reporting, what happened with the brother, and so on.
Mm. What about his former brother, Tsar? What's the story with him?
We don't know. That I gather, is a their letters they put in there because they keep the...
The ZA. Yeah,
yes. Yes. Yeah. I don't think it's an actual name.
No, I presume it's not either.
Yes, yeah. I gather there's a suppression order on that, and I think the Royal Commission is working to get that lifted.
Mm. Why would there be a suppression order?
It's some sort of court order of the past. In other words,
in relation to the fact that there was abuse against the minor, and therefore the minor can't be known. No, the perpetrator can be known.
I don't know. Mate. That would be suppressed. You'd have to ask them.
That'd be the most common explanation.
You better ask them
if a child was involved in sexual abuse. Will there be people involved who will be telling their stories here of whom you're not aware?
I don't know. Again, as you've just done, we've been encouraging people to come forward and tell their stories, but they do so privately, and then it's up to them and the Royal Commission over who then goes public.
Mm. One of the things that I think occurs to many people, myself included, when you look at this story, is that the church now says, "Well, yes, we were wrong, we did things badly, etc." But the church is not a democracy. You can't get rid of the people who run it. You can't vote them out. The same chains of command, the same bishops, the same archbishops are still there. They're sorry for the decisions they made, but they're still there. And for many, accountability means people not only saying they're wrong, but stepping aside for people who've got a better and more enlightened and more accountable view. And that hasn't happened in the Catholic Church, has it? Why?
Well, that's a good question, and it's not just asked here, it's asked worldwide at the moment. But the way this will go is the Royal Commission will forensically examine, and they will report at some point, and then everybody has to examine their conscience about their role in these things. I mean, obviously there have been priests and brothers who have been expelled, if you like to use that word.
Well, when found of criminality, of course, yes, yes. But the people who ran these investigations, who covered them up, and who admitted they covered them up, are still there.
Well, I'm not sure about that in the current times. I mean, this is the whole point of this inquiry, is to find out, for example, the people that were in authority, did they break the law? Did they do the wrong thing and so on? That's the whole point. Your point is about when the commission or any inquiry reports, what happens next? And as I said, when the recommendations come down, people are going to have to examine their conscience. They're going to have to make sure that they can stand up in the community and say we did the right thing.
Can the church ever recover from this?
I tell you what, it's going to take a long time, because there's a lot of people in the community who have lost faith in how the church has handled this, and by inference then, the deeper questions that the church tries to prosecute in the community.
Mm. So, because one of the things that the church says is that religious truth is obtainable from you know, the Bible and the Christian story, but the religious truth is also obtainable through us, i.e., the leaders of the church, and they're the very people who've been guilty of the most heinous crimes.
Well, and when it comes to this, it's going to have to take more than words. Mm. The church can only get credibility through its actions.
And that means monetary compensation, doesn't it? Of a form that is generous. That is infinitely more generous than what's been offered.
Well, that's why we're saying for two things. Firstly, the days of the Catholic Church investigating itself are over. And secondly, there needs to be an independent compensation arrangement that determines what people should be paid, how they should be paid, what sort of support they need, and then groups like the Catholic Church pay for those who have been abused in it.
Mm. All right, we'll see what happens at the hearings. They begin on Tuesday, the 10th of June, here in Canberra. And if you want to lodge a submission, you can. There's an email address here. There's a Royal Commission website. Of course, just use a search engine to find it. That'll be easy enough. If you want to email a submission, solicitor@childabuseroyalcommission.gov.au. Francis Sullivan, good to talk with you.
Thanks very much.
Francis Sullivan joining me in the studio. This morning you might have some views about it as well. I know I've had to receive some texts about it, particularly about Brother Koska this morning. There is an awful lot of pain, and we will hear more at the Royal Commission here in Canberra. 8:45.